when the brothers come back to Jacob and tell him, Yosef chai, Yosef is alive, and he is the ruler of Egypt, Sholet al Mitzrayim. And does Yaakov believe them? No. Doesn't believe them. Now, what doesn't he believe? Doesn't he believe he's alive? He knows he's alive, as we said, because he is mourning and mourning and mourning, and he knows his son is alive, but that's not life. And now when they tell him he is the ruler of Egypt, oh, this is the worst picture can be.
Of course.
Not only he is in the worst place in the world, he is the one who is the ruler of this place. Well, so he is the king of Tuma. Only when they try and they telling him, but this also didn't help. Till he saw the agalot. What is the agalot? The wagons. So one of the explanations said that his children are telling him, you know, he sent you the agalot to remind you what were you learning when he left. You were learning about Egla Arufa.
Yeah.
Now, what is the idea of Egla Arufa? It's very interesting. Egla Arufa, you find a body
Agala.
Between
Egla Arufa.
Egla Arufa is a young calf that you have to slaughter in a certain way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And now you find a body between two cities. So you now take a measures to the both of them. The one who is nearer is have to bring this Egla Arufa. Because this town is blamed about this guy that is being killed, so they have to bring a sacrifice to do kapara for the tshuva for it. Okay, so
what is the connection?
What's the connection? Joseph tells his father, you know, when we take the measurements between the dead body, which is a sin. Okay, a sin is being done here. We take the nearest town. Now, take in your mind, what did you do in this distance that now you find me? Is there any sin you did that is connected
to the
Egla Arufa, to the measurements, to measuring things? So here it was a distance, also a distance in time.
22 years.
Says one. What did Yaakov do for 22 years that was no good?
More.
He didn't see his father for 22 years.
No, Yosef.
Also Yaakov.
Yaakov didn't see.
That's exactly the connection. So now he thinks, wow, this is now 22 years, and it's against the 22 years I didn't see my father Yitzchak. So this is my punishment. And Joseph only now reveals himself to his father because of it. Why? Because there is a fact that if somebody is being punished in this world, he's not going to be punished in the next world. And it's better off to be punished here than to be punished there. In other words, if Joseph reveals himself before the 22 years, it means that his father was not punished for the sin he did.
He was punished there.
And then he will have to be punished in Olam Haba.
So he's not punishing him.
He is just taking out a sentence that God sent him to send. And he knows that if I wanted to be complete for 22 years, and it all goes this way also. You see that right away after 22 years, if the brother come, they go to Egypt, and everything goes according to the plan. Joseph always try to fix things in order that the plan, the godly plan, is going to come at the right time, and he was punished for it also. when he told this guy in jail to the the minister, the whiner, whatever you call it, they told him, remind and remind twice, and he paid for it for 2 years. So Joseph, what he's all those maneuvering is in order to punish his brother, to punish his father in this world, to make sure that they're not going to pay for anything in the next world. In other words, they will come pure and get the maximum of that next world. This is unbelievable. Now, this is what's going on in the mind of this guy. So, the more we learn about him, the more we understand why he cannot be a king. It's not because he's not suitable. As we said, he is overqualified. We cannot relate to this guy. By the way, there is he gave him $300, whatever, because the punishment of selling a Jew as a slave is, I don't remember how much it is, and he did the right calculation, and so he gave the money, and they didn't get the money, so they were punished by not getting the money. So everything he's doing is in order to find a way to make sure that his brother are going to pay for all the sins here. He makes them do tshuva in the right way. He makes his father like pay the whole 22 years not seeing him. And then in order not to shame his brother, he doesn't let himself see his father by himself. All those things Joseph is doing, which is really unbelievable.
But you said he did see him by himself once or twice.
Yes, when he called him to bless him, because before he died.
With these two sons.
It wasn't his idea. It was Yaakov, his father calling him.
But
with the two sons, you know, it's two sons. It's not the brother, so he maybe
could be.
Yeah, but he also managed not to say anything.
So Yaakov never asked him what happens?
He didn't have the chance. it's a very interesting thing. Yeah. No.
It wasn't WhatsApp and telephone.
Okay, yeah. No, but he could ask him even in front of the brothers, no? Why not? He didn't know nothing about the brothers.
The idea was that a beast took him. So he maybe survived the beast. That was the story. They gave him this coat full with blood. So, no, the idea, Taraf Yosef. Beast killed him. But here we found out, okay, the beast didn't kill him. Maybe it wounded him. And he finds his way to Egypt. And he then become a slave and become in jail. And then he become, because the brother definitely didn't tell him what they did.
And Yitzhak knew that he is alive. And
also Yaakov knew he's alive. But Yitzhak knew it for sure.
Yes, because Hashem told him.
And maybe Yitzhak even knew that he was alive, meaning he's also a tzaddik. And also he was a part of this plan because Yaakov had to pay for what he did. See, everything is calculated. But the thing is that sometimes we do things and don't realize why we do them. Sometimes it's a plan from God. Sometimes we are involved in a certain situation that we're supposed to do something. And we have to think, what is the right thing to do? You know, one of the, as I said, here the problem was lack of communication. All the time, through the whole story. Only when they really realize who Joseph is, they understand the big mistake they did. Because this guy is a king, they're bowing to him exactly as he dreamt. Whatever he said, everything came true. And he's not this evil guy they thought. The guy is a king, he can do with them whatever he wants. And not only is not doing anything wrong with them, he's only doing good with them. This is Joseph.
Is that fine?
You said that we have to avoid to live between neighbors who are around.
Bad neighbors. Yes.
So what we are doing here? We are surrounded all by bad neighbors.
You have to, that's exactly the point. living near a bad neighbor, you have to take in consideration that if something happens, it can also affect you. But if you're talking about a spiritual idea, so a spiritual idea is you have to make sure that you're not connecting to them too much. You not stick to them. You're not with them. Because sometimes God puts you in certain places and there's nothing to do about it. So you have to know. Because, you know, if you want to fight the enemy, you have to know you have an enemy. Because if you think, okay, he's a neighbor, wow, we live together, he's inviting me, I'll invite him, we drink together, we do things, and what's going to happen?
He will contaminate you.
That's the problem. That's what's happening all over the world. You know, the bolelut in the States is over 60%, which is, it's when you think about it, it's terrible.
Yeah. The assimilation.
Yes, it's terrible. And this is exactly Achek Mishachen Ra. Because if you're involved, it's going to affect you eventually. Now, if you know, you try to protect yourself. That's exactly the point, what I'm saying.
This is the point.
This is the point.
Humanist.
That was the light of Hanukkah. The light of Hanukkah was the light to light the light and show us that this is the real thing. It's not what we think. You say here, he is saying to Joseph, be Adoni. What is be Adoni?
My master.
When you look at the translation,
he is my master.
When you look at that's the first pasuk of the parsha. You look at the translation. You try and tell me what is the translation of be Adoni.
It's wrong.
My.
No. Look at the translation. Master. Don't translate.
Master.
Don't translate. Believe me, you will see. You will understand in a minute what I'm saying.
Please, my master. Your servant now.
Is be please?
Please, my master.
I'm telling you. You know Hebrew? What is be Adoni?
Be Adoni.
Be in me. My master is in me. That's what he's saying. Be Adoni. He's not saying please. But nobody can translate this because it doesn't make any sense. But if we think about it, what is really telling Joseph that he is the second in command of Egypt? He doesn't know it's Joseph. He says, "Be Adoni, my master is inside. You are not my master.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. I have only one master is inside me. That's my neshama, yeah. My godly part. My God is my master, not you. Mm-hmm. Be Adoni." And that's a big lesson. Because who is in control?
Yes, the oracle.
No, who is in control in our...
God.
Hashem.
You have what we say in the Kabbalah, it says, Ani mezuyaf ve'ani amiti. There is the fake me and the real me.
Yes.
What does it mean? What is the fake me and the real me? When I do things because of my ego,
then you are
for
fake.
Me, that's the fake me. Because the real me wants to do things for the others. It's like, I think Kennedy said this. It's not...
It's not what you can do for your country.
And that's exactly...
It's not what your country can do for you, but what you can do.
And that's exactly the thing. So the fake me, we say always, you shouldn't do our things for you, or you have to kill your ego. And it's not exactly right. Ego can be a good thing if you're using it to do good to others. You doing things for yourself, which means for me and only for me, that's the fake me. The real me, even if it takes, it wants to give. It takes in order to give. So, and that's exactly what Judah is telling Joseph. And us, we have to know the master is inside us. And the real master is not the fake me. It's like when somebody, the Beis Din, tells him you have to give a divorce to your wife. And he doesn't want to. So the Beis Din is going to punish him, to hit him, till he's going to say, Rotze ani, I want to give her a divorce. So everybody's asking, what's this? You put a gun to the head of the guy and tell him, give a divorce to your wife. And he has to give the divorce willingly. Is this willingly? I don't know. They put a gun on his head, tell him, give a divorce to your wife. And that's what the Gemara says. So what's the idea? The idea is very simple. We have a fight here between the fake me and the real me. The other one, the fake me is the Red Sahara. And he tells you,
Don't give
a divorce. But the real me inside, he wants to do the mitzvah. Because if the ego, me, is in control, he just sets a hara. So he says, I'm not going to give her a divorce. But if the real me, the neshama, is on control, what does the neshama do? What is right in the eyes of God? That's why they say, kofi moto ad sheyomar rotzeh ani. What do you mean, rotzeh ani? What's this, a game? It's not a game. And we all know it. Yetzer hara works in a lot of ways. But, you know, it's like somebody enjoys life and he does all the naughty things of the world. He eats what he's not supposed to eat. He does things that he's not supposed to do. And one day he doesn't feel so good. He goes to the doctor and the doctor tells him, you have only a month to live. Now, what do you think this guy, when he comes out of the doctor, is going to think about? What party to go? Or start thinking seriously on his situation? What can I do in order to fix what I did wrong? Is he going to look with real eyes on the world, or is he going to look for more desires and more things to do? Depends. And if the doctor tells him, you know, if you're not going to change your life, you're going to die.
And we have a chance. Because if the doctor say to him, you have only 1 month to live, he thinks, I'll do everything that I can in this month, before I die.
I don't think so. Because you see, when you know you're going to do good things, you're not going to do bad things, because you have only, let's say, once to do, and you realize now what is important and what is not important. You're not going to waste the time, let's put it this way. You're going to try and use the time in the best way you can.
Okay.
But if you think that you'll live forever, okay, so I'll drink, I'll go to this party and the other party, I eat this and I eat that and I do this and I do that, who cares? I'm going to live forever. But if you suddenly realize that it doesn't work like this, and you have to be careful, so suddenly you look at things in a different eye. They say, Yisurim Memarkim. What does it mean? When somebody is going through bad times, suddenly he looks at life in a different way. You know, somebody is in the top, everything goes good, so it's very easy to be tempted to all the joys of life. But then suddenly something happens, then you realize what is important in life and what not. So we shouldn't wait for this moment.
That's why I think a rabbi said, I think it's Yigal Cohen say that all the bad things that happens to you, you have to say also thank you to Hashem, because He's putting you in the right
because when everything goes well, Vayishman Yeshurun Vayivat, you start doing stupid things. So then God comes and gives you a few yisurim, bad times, and suddenly you start to look at life in a different way. So in other words, that's exactly the point here, to understand and realize that when things go in a certain way, there is always a reason. The point is, like David HaMelech says, "Achat she'alti et Hashem ota avakesh, shivti bevet Hashem kol yimei l'achdut b'nom Hashem ulvaker be'echalo." I'm asking one thing. I want to sit in the house of God all the day of my life. מה זה לבקר בהיכלו? סדר השריר שלבקר is like to ביקורת, that I can criticize myself. In other words, you know, sometimes you sit on top, you think everything is okay, you don't, you go on. And sometimes you go in the bad direction. Look at the brothers of Joseph. They were sure that they are right. But if they would have stopped, if they would communicate with their brother, they would find out that they did a big mistake. But they didn't. They went on with life like nothing happens. It's like this guy, also talking about diamonds. This guy, you know, the diamond field is very bad. the polishers is a profession that is always almost not here anymore, because everything a laser does. But the big stones still are being handled by human beings. So this guy in Antwerp, is the town of diamonds, he was a polisher. He is in his family, his son, his children also with him. And they had very bad times. And then suddenly this guy, big shot from the bulls, came and told, I've got a few big stones. I want you to do them, to polish them. And he was very happy about it, even very big stones. Unfortunately, when he started doing the cutting the stone and polishing it, he did a small mistake. And he did, he cut a little too much. But because he needed the job and he couldn't go and tell the guy I did a mistake, he convinced himself that it's okay. He had to do it. And you know, we do it all the time. Try to convince ourselves that it's all right. The problem was that when he finished, even his son told him, Father, you know, I think you did a mistake here. He says, you tell me I did a mistake? Who are you? Who are you? I'm doing this job for 40 years. You only started in you telling me I'm a professional, I know what I'm doing. But the day comes, he has to bring the stones to the guy. He goes to the office. The minute the door is opened, he understood that's it. And right in front of him were standing all the biggest experts of the bulls.
Wow.
And he had big pictures of the size of the stones, as like before they were polished, and what they're supposed to be after being polished. And what he had in his hand
was nothing to compare
to what was there.
Wow.
So here, no excuses. That's what they say also with the rebuke of your Joseph. Oy lanu miyom adin, oy lanu miyom atochecha. Achei Yosef lo yachlu la'amod b'fnav, b'fnei basar v'adam. Ech na'amod anachnu b'fnei HaKodesh Baruch Hu. Says the brothers of Joseph couldn't stand in front of their brother from his rebuke. How are we going to stand in front of Kodesh Baruch Hu? You know, we can convince ourselves we did the right thing. But when we stand in front of the experts, who can say? The truth is right in front of your eyes. And by the way, the biggest test that, or let's say, one of the biggest lessons that we learn in our parsha is that when it's going to come to the punishment, one of the systems is to show you what you did from the outside. In other words, you will see a similar story
and
you look into it and you will be the judge. As the prophet came to David HaMelech with a kifsat arash, when he came up with the lamb, he says this guy was a rich guy. He had herds, he had millions, he had everything, and he had cattle from here to there. And his neighbor was a poor guy, he had only one lamb. That's what he had. And one day a visitor came, and this rich guy, nevertheless, took the lamb from the poor guy, slaughtered it, and gave it to eat to his guest. What do you think you should be? Ben Mavet Aish. Should kill him. He said, it's you.
You took the one.
And that's what is Yosef doing in our parsha. Ani Yosef, Haod Avichai. You just now told me a very nice story. But this is exactly what you did 22 years ago.
Yeah.
So the big lesson for us is...
But David didn't stand instantly say, Hapti Hapti.
Who?
David.
David, yeah, he was so...
Instantly say, Hatati.
I'm not going to go to this, it's a whole shiur, because Misha Omer, Shadavid HaMelech Hata, Eno Ela Toe. It was not exactly the scene that we seen. Somebody says that David HaMelech's scene is mistaken. It was not a scene.
Yeah, okay. But anyway.
But the thing is.
In the Shmuelsky saying this.
Yeah, also the brothers. They also collapsed. They didn't know what they do. And they did tshuva, but.
Tell me, I want to ask Rabbi about this name of the woman she was with Yaakov and. When they thought that Yosef is alive, is a woman, a name that Linda told in our coffee.
Not when she came to Mitzrayim with the brother.
Yes, once she was born in the.
What's her name?
Sarah.
A daughter of Bila, no?
Yeah. She was the daughter of Asher.
Asher?
Yeah. No, what's her name?
Shura.
No.
Shura.
No,
no. Yes.
Shura.
Not Shura. Not Shura.
Not Shura.
Not Shura. Not Shura. Yeah. It's written in the in Rashi, in the Chumash.
It's written?
Yeah, yeah, it's written in the Chumash. In the Rashi. In the Rashi it's written. It's not, what's her name? Serach Bat Asher.
Serach
Bat Asher.
Because I never heard about this woman. I heard now.
Oh, it's a well-known story. It's written. Rashi brings it.
She lived
A lot of years. She lived a lot of years.
So what was the point?
I never read about her.
We always learn something new. I don't know how many years, but you know, again, when we're talking about ages and things, that the idea behind those things, it's not the story. It's the lesson for us. As we see with Joseph, the whole story is that we see from one side, we see this great tzaddik Joseph, the way he behaves. And from the other side, we see Judah, the way he behaves. And we should learn from both of them, because both of them are powers that we have inside. And we should learn to control ourselves. And also, all the way that the brothers see really Joseph in front of their eyes, but they don't realize that it is Joseph, though he looks like his father. Because if you don't want to see something, you just don't see it. That's a big lesson for us. And then all this story that is going all around, when you see the way Joseph is behaving, like rebuke. What is rebuke? Rebuke, people don't realize, not a mitzvah ben adam lamakum. It's mitzvah she ben adam lechavero. Rebuke is not something between us and God. It's between us and our fellow man. In other words, when you do rebuke, you have to be very careful to do it from a point of view of love. Love because to show off, or because you just, somebody did a mistake, so you want to show, look at him. No. If you do it this way, don't do it. You do it from love. That's the idea of rebuke, because the whole thing is, like we see Joseph, what he tries all his life to do is to combine all the brothers together. And by the way, this is to unite them. And one of the things is like the agalot that he saw, those wagons. So one of the beautiful explanations about is to remind him the wagons of that the princess gave to the temple. If you remember when they was building the tabernacle, the princess brought, the 12 princes, they brought
the same
12 oxes and 6 wagons. Why 6 wagons? Because every 2 brought 1 wagon with 2 oxes. Why? To show that they are together. In other words, it's like in marriage, for example. You have a man and a wife. You have a man, a male and a female. And together they carry the burden of marriage, which is not always easy. But as long as they go in the same direction and they are together, that is the whole idea. That's what the princess wanted to show when they brought together one wagon and each one of them, one ox.
Two oxen.
So, this is also what is Joseph telling his father? I succeeded. I made sure to bring all the brothers together, united.
So Moshiach ben Yosef will come before Moshiach ben David to make us also to reproach.
But Moshiach ben Yosef, it's like when you talk about Ephraim is Am Yisrael in the Galut, in the diaspora. When we come to Eretz Yisrael, it's going to be Yehuda.
Yeah.
But again, we're talking about powers here. So the idea is, Joseph is the one who can stand in the diaspora and fight everything and be successful to stay to stay Jewish.
So Moshiach ben Yosef Judah, is in diaspora.
Yes, Moshiach ben Yosef is the first that is going to lead to the stage when then the Moshiach ben David can come.
So this is what I say. Maybe he will make Am Yisrael a tochacha. Everyone came together and repent in order to come Moshiach
and then David. And then when it's normal life then he finishes his job and now comes somebody who can relate to the daily life, because when you're in a fight you have to fight You have to be very strong. You have to be like Joseph.
No, 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 no.
But when you are normal life, you have to learn from Yuda.
Very nice idea. Very nice idea.
Isheshela.
Yeah.
They wrote today about this woman who was the couple that wanted them to make tefillah. So they wrote, Lior Silvestri Mevakeshet, Me'atzibur HaKadosh Ba'u B'Birkat Asher Yotzar B'Sof HaBracha Baruch Et Hashem Rofei Kol Basar U'Mafrid La'asot. Asher Yotzar, זה לא הברכה שאומרים שיוצאים מהשירותים.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
As when she translated it, she didn't include that. As כלומר, כשיוצאים מהשירותים, לחשוב על העבר.
For him, who did he ask it for?
Lior Silverstein for the couple.
Well, yeah, a couple, died. Because the boy died.
The boy.
Yes,
the boy.
Died.
Baby.
Said,
the baby died.
The
baby died.
The kaven kol milah refuat atikno ben shira yael.
Okay,
shira
that's
yael bat liora.
Why?
Sarah v'amicha yishai ben fega gitol glila. Another shlok. So that's why she went.
Let the shiur also be for the health of all the couple and all the wonders and everything. Amen, amen.